Meanwhile, let's move over to Romans chapter 8. If you have any questions about the cookbook, talk to Frida, because I have no idea, aside from what she tells me, she's the one, okay? We're talking about church growth factors. How many of y'all look like one of your parents? I don't think I did when I was a kid, but I definitely do now that I'm an adult. How many of y'all look like both of your parents in some way or another? Yeah, that's always, sometimes that's, you know, it's like, wait a minute, do they look like dad or do they look like mom? And I think it changes after you're born. I think as you grow, things, obviously you have a different look. How many of y'all don't look like neither one of your parents? I know y'all are afraid to raise your hand because you're afraid of what that might mean. No, they're your parents. They're your parents. You don't have to look like them. I remember when life got real for me, probably one of the times in my life where I suddenly realized just how serious life really is was, well, two times. One, when my son was born, right? And everybody said he looked like me, but I said, oh, I ain't that small. But now that I look back at the pictures, I can, you know, okay, I can see it. But when it got really real for me was as he got older, still pretty young, it had to be, I wasn't paying attention, I suppose, or I wasn't paying attention enough to notice, but I had to be told that he was trying to be like me. He was trying to do everything I do. He was trying to talk how I talk. He was trying to say what I say. He was trying to act the way I act. And once I came to that realization about being a dad, it got really serious. And this was all before I was ever saved, y'all. And I thought to myself, if he's going to be like me, then what's he going to be like? And I got scared, to be honest with you. Because now I got some responsibilities to think about, don't I? If he's going to look like me in the way that he acts, the way that he carries himself, the way that he, his character is as a man when he grows up, what is he going to look like if it's just like me? Right? Now, all of y'all know, hopefully all of y'all know, that we call ourselves Christian because that word in the English language is meant to mean like Christ or little Christ, right? So we would understand, hopefully, that we are to be like our Savior. We are to grow up to be and do what He was and is and did, right? Now, don't get carried away, because I know some people are like, well, I'm not going to, we can't die on the cross. No. Jesus died so that he could live in us, right? And we are to, as we grow in Christ and as we continue to pursue what we talked about in our Bible study this morning, right, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, we are to leave behind the old self and latch on to the new self in Christ, and it should look a lot like Jesus and the way that he lived. Okay? Seems simple, doesn't it, when you say it that way? Just be like Jesus. But we all know it's like, usually when I say that to people, they're like, well, I'm not Jesus. So they just kind of lower the bar so they don't have to try so hard. The reality is Jesus did die so that we could do what he did and be the way he was and love the way he loved, knowing that we need his Spirit in our hearts to do it that way, to help us be that. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, I want to focus on this morning. Here, I'll show it to you. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Right? So we look at the life of Jesus as he, when he came into the world and lived as a human being and completed his mission and did his ministry in the process, right? All of which is the roadmap to the way we are to live, right? We're not Jesus. We're not holy like he is, but we are being made holy because he's holy, you see. And when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, Jesus said, you have to do this. And John's like, no, you're supposed to baptize me. And they had this little conversation with John the Baptist. John's like, no, I can do that. And Jesus is like, no, you have to do this. And he's saying that because he is showing us the way. And when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God came upon him, and God said, and my son, I'm well pleased, right? So when we're baptized, it's described that if we give our life to Christ, we repent of our sins and we confess Christ as Lord and Savior. We're immersed in baptism for the forgiveness of our sin, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the same picture. And from then on, with the Spirit of God living in us, we are to go and do and live the way Jesus taught us to live, by his example, as was pointed out in our communion meditation. We're to go and love people, right? Unconditionally, by the way, which is hard, isn't it? So what does this have to do with church growth, right? Well, if people are looking for truth in the world, if people are wanting to know if Jesus is real, if they want to know if God exists, if they want to know truth about anything that has to do with the Christian life, wouldn't it be great if they encountered someone who was like Jesus to show them who Jesus is? You can see an example when the disciples were in the book of Acts. The disciples got themselves in trouble with the religious leaders, right? Remember, they looked at them and said, hey, these guys have been with Jesus. Why did they say that? Because they were acting the way Jesus acted. They were saying what Jesus said. They were doing what Jesus did. And the question for us, if we're going to be a church that grows, that makes disciples, that is engaged in the work of harvesting the lost souls in the world, people need to look at us and have a thought. Hey, those people know Jesus. Right? They may not say you look like Jesus. They may not say you're acting like Jesus. They may not say you've been with Jesus, but they know that you know about Jesus. They know that you know God by the way that you live, you see. And that's all through our walk with Christ. So there's three things I'm going to look at real quick as we pursue this idea of what it means to be like Jesus, so that we can be a church that has a potential for growth and a potential to be used by Christ, by God, to make disciples. All right, first thing is, God uses trouble to strengthen our faith. You ever notice that? God doesn't use the mountaintops to make our faith stronger. It doesn't take any faith at all to praise God when everything is great. Jesus taught that. It's easy to love God when everything is the way you want it to be. But it's challenging and difficult to put your faith in God when it's dark and the valley's deep and trouble is around. I don't believe that God causes trouble to make you stronger. I think God uses the trouble in our life that comes with living in this world as an opportunity to strengthen our faith in him, you see, to make us stronger. It's all about strengthening our faith and strengthening who we are in Christ. Because believe it or not, the reason that Jesus was arrested and crucified and spit on and cussed at, and nobody believed that he was the Son of God at the time he was on the planet, is because he looked weak to them in all appearances. And what they thought was strong and what they thought was weak, he looked like someone who would have been weak. But he was actually the strongest of them all in his time on the planet. That's when y'all say praise the Lord, because it took a lot of strength to go to the cross. It took a lot of strength to endure everything he endured. It took a lot of strength to come into the world and be tempted by Satan to abandon the mission, right? It took a lot of strength for him to look people in the eye knowing that they're going to betray him. And you don't even have to pick, you don't even have to say who. It's all. We all betrayed him. The people he was on the planet with, he looked them in the eye knowing that he was going to the cross for them. Knowing that they were going to be in the crowd yelling, crucify him, crucify him. That takes strength, doesn't it? He trusted the Father's plan. God wants to build up your spiritual strength. Realizing, hope y'all realize that spiritual strength is trusting God, isn't it? Spiritual strength is building your faith. Faith is trusting God. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 5 in verse 3 to 5. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. Right? Nobody that I, well, that's not true. Most people that I know, maybe I just hang out with the wrong crowd, love to go to the gym and work out physically. I know there's people on the planet that do. They're obsessed with it sometimes. Right? I'm in favor of physical work. Right? And that's what part of the challenge of getting older is, it's harder and harder to do. The older you get, that you can't do what you used to do. And it becomes more and more of a challenge physically. But you have to figure it out if you want to stay strong. Same thing spiritually. That's why we embrace the suffering when it comes. We embrace the trials when they come. You know, troubles and trials are used in the same way in Scripture. The Bible usually uses the word trials instead of trouble. Why does God want to build up your character? Why is it that Romans chapter 8:28 says that God causes all things to work together for our good, right? We're being conformed to his image of his son. Why? Why is all of this the truth? Because God wants you to show the world who he is. He wants you to show the world who Jesus is, so that they will see that they need him as Lord and Savior. That we need him as Lord and Savior. And I praise God when I read these scriptures, because it tells me that not only did Jesus die for my sins because I need him to die for my sins, but he didn't just do it because he felt bad for me and he had pity on me. Those things are true, but that's not the only reason. Jesus did that because God wanted me on the team. God wants me to do something for him. God, I'm a tool that's valuable to God. I'm not just saved so I can go to heaven and be put on, here's another one I saved. I'm saved so that I can go and do what God has formed me to do, is conforming me to do, is changing me to do. He's got plans for y'all as a witness. And that's helpful to me personally. Because then it helps me know that it's not about me. Right? Right? If it's about me, it's guaranteed to get messed up. And if it ever was about self, no one would ever show up. At all. Because who wants to be like me? I mean, besides my son. Right? And I say that, it sounds funny, but really. Who wants to be like me? Who wants to be like you? We're trying to get people to be like Jesus. Hey, come and go with us, because we're trying to be like Jesus. You can come and help. Go do it with us. Let's all learn together and grow and be like Jesus together. You see. And here's the amazing thing is, when my witness and your witness and every Christian who's genuine believers who are pursuing their spiritual growth as much as they can, and they're growing, and everything is, the way the Lord wants it to be, people get to see many different ways that God will show himself. Why? Because we're all different. Y'all love people that are different than I love people sometimes. But sometimes we love people the same. Y'all bless people different than I bless people. And there's some things that I can't do for somebody that maybe you could do for somebody because of whatever gifts you have or knowledge or talents or whatever, you see. That's what's the beauty of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is Jesus with skin on. I stole that off of somebody, didn't I, Libby? We're all called to his purpose, and we're being conformed to the image of his son. You ever think about that? You ever think about that when you look in the mirror in the morning? Here, this is why I'm telling you that. I try to help people think about this because it helps me. Each morning, if we are what I would call a normal individual, we get up in the morning, or whenever we get up, we look in the mirror, brush our teeth, comb our hair, do what we do to get ready for the day. Most of the time that involves looking at yourself in a mirror. And I wonder if we look past what we see in the flesh in that moment. I know we're working on the flesh. We're working on the hair, and ladies are painting the barn. That's the way it was told to me. Y'all are painting the barn, and you can't go out of the house till you get yourself made right. And the guys are making sure that everything looks good and, you know, whatever. But my question is do we take that moment when we're looking in the mirror, do we look ourselves in the eye and say, what do I see? Do I see more of Jesus or do I see more of myself? And then ask God to help us answer that question, right? If we're going to be honest with ourselves about who we are as Christians, real Christians, genuine Christians, because this is what God is trying to do. This is what God is trying to get us to. He's trying to get us to look more like him and less like ourselves, you see. And I would encourage you, as we continue to grow together as a church, continue to pray for God to open up doors of opportunity to be a witness in the community, that we would every day make it a point to look in the mirror, look deep into our own eyes, and ask God, do I see Jesus? Do I even see a hint of Jesus? And then be ready for the answer and be honest with the answer and ask God to help you where we fall short and praise God when you don't fall short. And that's hard because some people are going to look in the mirror and every day and they're going to say, yeah, I'm not there yet, because they're super humble and they're super absorbed with the humility that God encourages us to live in. However, if Jesus is alive in you, you should see him. You should know him, even when you look into your own eyes. And it would be perfectly appropriate to praise God for that. Amen. Right? So don't cut short what God's doing in your life. Because every time I remember to do that, and I pay attention to his answer to me and his guidance, It's kind of like the you know, in Revelations, he writes these letters to these churches and he says, hey, you're doing this great. However, you got to work on this over here. And I me and the Lord, just about every day, it's like that. I don't think that we're failing all the time. We can't be if the Spirit of God's living in us. I just think sometimes we're either not paying attention or we got self in the way of being everything that Jesus is trying to be in our life, right? There are times when people see Jesus in my life, and there's other times when I know for a fact that I got in the way of people seeing Jesus in my life. And that's hard too, because the big red repent light comes on in my mind. It's like, That's just the way it works in my mind. It's like, that's not who we are. That's not what we do. Let's get it fixed. Praise the Lord for that, because if I don't have that big red flashing sign, I'm just going to roll on and be myself and act like I got it together all the time. And you know as well as I do that we don't always have it together. You know, the night before Jesus was crucified, he was arrested. The night before he was arrested and then crucified, he was in the wilderness trying to pray to God, trying to talk to the Father. Remember that? I love thinking about this event. I like talking about it because it helps me realize that Jesus understands my struggles. He understands what stress is, right? I mean, he knows he's about to be arrested. He knows he's about to be mistreated, and that's saying it lightly. He knows he's about to be crucified for the sins of man. He knows he's about to take on the sin of man in his innocence. And remember that prayer. He said to the Father, if there's another way, let's do that. Totally honest with the Father. And of course, he got his answer, and he's like, well, your will be done then. Let's do this. That's strength, y'all. And when I see that, I see our Savior. He's all alone because his disciples could not pray with him, could not understand what was going on, would not stay up with him. He felt so much stress that he started sweating blood, right? And he agrees. He's just like, whatever your will is, Lord. That's bold strength when he's all alone. I won't say all alone. The Father is with him, right? But as far as the world is concerned, he's all alone. Why was he all alone? Because even the disciples that were with him had sinned against him. He's dying for them too. So he had to be all alone. And then the whole situation after he gets arrested and has this jacked up trial in the middle of the night that was totally illegal, the spitting on him, the beating him, the cursing at him, not one time did he ever defend himself. The only time he ever said anything is just to agree with what they were accusing him of, right? They say something that's true, and he's like, well, it is as you say. That's all he ever said. And if I'm going to live in this world and try to be like him, how does that work? How do we do that in a real way? How do we live in this world where there's times when we're alone, there's times when we're feeling sorrow, when there's times we're offended, when there's times we're persecuted, when there's times that we're in sin? How do we be like Jesus? You see. Well, the only way I know is to surrender to him and let him live in us. You see. Then there's this whole temptation thing, which is point number two, right? Temptation strengthens our commitment to Jesus, right? If I'm going to be like Jesus, I have to have strong faith and I have to have a strong commitment. It's one thing to stand up in a church and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ and I want to go to heaven. So I repent and I'll be baptized because that's what I'm taught. It's another thing to live the rest of your life after that moment committed to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Make sense? It's just the beginning, y'all. And every day is a recommitment, isn't it? Every day is hard. There's some days where it's like you don't even know you failed in your commitment until most of the day is gone. For whatever the reasons are. Praise God for his grace. And praise God for his Spirit that lives in us, that's constantly tapping us on the shoulder. And it's like, that don't look like Jesus. So let's do something about that. I know y'all think I'm crazy, but that's how I hear God talking to me. In my mind and in my heart. He taps me on the shoulder and he's like, excuse me, you know as well as I do that the Word of God says this, and here's who you are right now. So what are we going to do? Only reason I hear God talking to me like that is because that's the way I need it. I need him to be blunt with me. And he's blunt with me. And 99.9% of the time, it's probably 100, I'm just not paying attention. He's telling me that before I get in trouble. And what it is my commitment to God is challenged every day. My commitment as a Christian is challenged every day. My agreement with God is that I will accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I will surrender my kingdom to you, and I will live the rest of my life trying to be like Jesus with your help. That's the agreement. And there's no breaks. You don't get to clock out and clock back in, right? And you watch the apostles, you look at all the disciples, and you watch them fail over and over again, even after they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They just don't always get it right. But people get saved because they see that they've been with Jesus. So when God sees temptations, he uses them to strengthen our commitment. He uses them to challenge our obedience to him. Right? Temptations are the test of your obedience to God. Test of your commitment, test of your sincerity in your love for him, right? Why does God test? God's not testing us because he doesn't believe us. He's testing us to make us stronger, y'all. He wants our faith to be strengthened. He wants our commitment to be strengthened all the time because we need it to be strengthened, because ourselves, the world, and Satan are all attacking those things in your life. It's like you're surrounded by a pack of wolves that are just trying to devour you. But you have Jesus. You have Christ. You have the Spirit of God. And here's the crazy thing is you're one of those wolves. Right? You're fighting yourself sometimes. But praise God that he's doing this. Praise God he uses these temptations and these trials to make us stronger in the areas that we need to be boldly strong so that we can look like Jesus in the world. Why? For the sake of someone else's soul. So someone will know Jesus. Someone can repent. Someone else can get saved. That's why. Otherwise, we'd all just die and go be with the Lord after we get baptized. Temptation is always the test whether you love God more than anything else. And the third one. Check this out. God, this is a hard one. This is really hard. God uses conflict to strengthen our love. Now, let's think about this for a minute. It's easy to love those who love you, right? I'm just telling you, if you guys bring barbecue to my house, I'm going to love you. I mean, it's just the bottom line. But when there's conflict, and there's different kinds of conflict, the conflict I'm talking about is intentional, trying to destroy, ungodly conflict. That's what I'm referring to. My wife and I can have conflict just because silly stuff that's easy to get over because our love is greater than that. Make sense? I'm talking about people in the world or people in society or people even in your family or wherever they come from, and they are intentionally bent on tearing you down. That's the kind of conflict. God doesn't ordain that. He doesn't cause that, but he will certainly use that to strengthen the way that you love people or the way that you're able to love people, you see. And there are times, there are times that it is challenging, isn't it? To love people who are doing harm, who are destroying others, who are, I mean, you can use the most extreme situations in life and God still expects us to find some way to love. And sometimes the only amount of love we can offer is to be able to forgive, right? And that's the limit of it. Because it's not allowed to go any further by somebody else. It's sometimes it's just that simple. And other times, reconciliation is in order, right? That's what God would desire when there's conflict. But if you were, let's just say this, if you were married to a person who you never, ever, ever, ever had an argument with legitimately, nobody in here is like that, but if you were, how strong do you think your love would really be? Versus every now and then we get on each other's nerve. Or every now and then we don't put the toilet paper the right way in the bathroom. Or every now and then we just say that hurtful thing because we don't think about each other. Or whatever goes on in a marriage that sometimes gets out of control, you see. And once we're able to overcome those conflicts, the reality is the love gets deeper and deeper, doesn't it? Because we've been through some stuff together, right? We've been through some things together. We know each other deeply, and we love each other enough to love like Jesus, right? Because who on the planet had every right to just throw us out and cast us aside if it wasn't Jesus? Forgiveness from God is not deserved, right? And it's not required. We don't even have the right to demand it, but there it is. There it is. How do we love like that? How does the church, how do the believers love people like that? Right? The only way I know to be successful or even come close to being successful in that area is for the Lord to live in us in such a way that we are not around. You know, it's like I'm not here. This is Jesus. This is God doing this. You know? And amazingly, God will bring us to situations and allow us to move through some things that we never, ever could convince ourselves to do on our own at times. And it's challenging. And I think it's a daily struggle. I think we'll have struggles with this until we leave this planet or until Jesus comes back. I'm talking about intentional trespassing in our lives. That's what I'm talking about, intentional trespassing. How does God intend that we deal with trespasses? Lord, forgive our trespasses as we forgive our trespasses. So probably the most difficult part of being like Christ is this, because it calls each of us to attempt what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Right? And I said earlier, and I'm almost done with this, I said earlier that we can't be like Jesus because we can't go to the cross like Jesus did. It's not required, is it? It's not required for us to go to the cross the way Jesus did in order to forgive those who have trespassed against us. Because what Jesus did on the cross opened the door for that. It only needs to be done once. And that's why when we look in the mirror and we look in our own eyes, if we ask that question, is there any sign of Jesus in me? If we have trouble with this area, if we have trouble with this conflict, we should hear the Spirit of God in our heart say, yeah, you look like Jesus, but there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this. And here's what to do about it. And then guess what? We have our agenda for the day, don't we? We know what we're going to do today. We're going to work on this. We're going to try to be better than we were yesterday, and we're going to deal with it the best that we can and the best that opportunities offer. So if we're going to be like Jesus, if we're going to be like Christ, if we're going to be what God is working on us to be, if we're going to be conformed to the image of our Savior, right, then we must surrender to and embrace the challenges, embrace the hardships, embrace the conflicts, embrace the temptations even. I don't mean enjoy them. I'm just saying embrace that God is using these things to make us stronger in Christ. Because let's just take the last several years to be just as an example that applies to the congregation. Y'all deal with your personal lives, you and the Lord, right? We've been through two major worldwide situations. Well, not worldwide, for the pandemic is worldwide, and then this storm is might as well be worldwide for us because that's what we're living in, you see. How many of y'all got nervous last night just because the wind blew? Everybody raise your hand. It's like we've had enough of that, right? And they were like, well, the storms are coming and there's tornadoes and this and that. And I'm just like, really? Really? That's how I felt. Unless I'm not normal, I think everybody else had at least thought about it. However, God was faithful through the last storm. God was faithful through the pandemic. God was faithful through all the things that happened to me personally. And all the things that's happened to you personally, God has been faithful. And you're different because of all of that. You're stronger. Whether you know it or not, you're stronger because of the things that you've gone through, the losses that you've experienced, the victories, the challenges, the hurts, the woes, the mountaintops, the valleys. All of it forms you and shapes you just the way God wants you to be so that people will know Him. Isn't that great? You're important. You're a part of the kingdom. Jesus didn't die just for you to go to heaven, just so you'll be forgiven. He died so that you can be part of the kingdom of God. You can be the ambassador so that others will know Jesus. I love you. The Lord loves you. If you don't know Jesus, now's the time. There ain't no point in waiting around. We're going to sing together, and then we're going to be ready to go home. But if you need to be saved, if you want to be saved, the Bible teaches that if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you should confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repent of being an enemy of God. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then you're on a journey with us all. Isn't that great? Let's stand together and we'll sing.